13. Notice what it says. And Samuel died, and all the Israelites gathered together and lamented him, and buried him in his house at Ramah. And David arose and went down to the wilderness of Paran. And there was a man in Maon, whose possession were in Carmel, and the man was very great, and he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now the name of the man was Nabal, which means fool. And we find the name of his wife Abigail. She was a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance, but the man was churlish and evil in his doings, and he was of the house of Caleb. And David heard in the wilderness that Nabal did shear his sheep. And David sent out 10 young men, and David said unto the young men, get you up to Carmel, and go to Nabal, and greet him in my name. And thus shall you say to him that liveth in prosperity, peace be both to you, and peace be to thine house, and peace be unto all that thou hast. And now I have heard that thou hast shears, Now thy shepherds which were with us, we hurt them not, neither was there aught missing unto them, all the while they were in Carmel. And ask the young men, and they will show thee. Wherefore let the young men find favor in thine eyes, for we come in a good day. Give, I pray thee, whatsoever cometh to thine hand, unto thy servants, and to thy son David. And when David's young men came, they spake to Nabal according to all the words that in the name of David, and seek. And Nabal answered David's servants and said, who is David, and who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants nowadays that break away every man from his master. Shall I then take my bread, and my water, and my flesh that I have killed for my shears, and give it unto men whom I know not whence they be? So David's young men turned their way, and went again, and came and told him all those things. And David said unto his men, gird ye on every man his sword. And they girded on every man his sword. And David also girded on his sword, and there went up after David about 400 men, and 200 abode by the stuff. Shall we pray? Our Lord, tonight, thank you again for this precious privilege we have of gathering in thy house to worship and to learn of thee. Give listening ears, attentive minds, and open heart, and Lord, send forth thy word in power and might, as only thou canst do, and do whatever has to be done in our hearts as we wait upon thee to give us this reality. O our God, thou art such a marvelous, gracious, long-suffering, patient God. We're made to wonder over and over again, Lord, how in the world do you put up with us like you do? But we're so glad that thou art a patient God. So our Lord, tonight, sanctify this endeavor, make it acceptable in thy sight, and again we pray, do whatever has to be done. But O our Lord, above everything else, glorify thyself in all that's done. Forgive us where we have failed thee today, and Lord, teach us to appreciate you more and serve you better. We ask it now, Lord Jesus, for thy sake. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Our subject tonight, the sinner's day of visitation. Now listen carefully, if you will. I want you to take this portion of the Word of God and read it as often as you can, because I have 17 messages out of this chapter. I'm only going to be able to give you 3 of them. But I want you to read it and reread it, and then when we study it together, they'll fall in place, and I'll tell you right now, you'll be able to find many of these things for yourself. And what I always remember one thing, what I'm bringing to you is something that God has given to me, and I'm able to do it because the Lord has blessed me to do these things, and I have a great time in doing it. Our lesson tonight will fall 2 categories. First of all, as we look at this portion of the Word of God, we're going to see the struggles of a true believer. Then secondly, we're going to see the sinner's visitation from God. If you're a believer here tonight, I'll tell you right now, this is what will happen to you. If it doesn't, I'm sure it will. Notice if you will, we find 5 things stand out in this portion of the Word of God. Number 1, the struggles of a new believer is this. David requested a favor in return for a favor from a fellow individual. Now, if that ever happened to you, I have found out very clearly that if you get in a bind, for the most part, don't ask the Christian. They don't want to help you. And we find, what are you talking about now? Why do I say this? Because I want you to know it's a relationship between David and Nabal. Nabal was of the house of Caleb. 1 Samuel 25, verse 2 and 3. David was also of the house of Jesse, 1 Samuel 25, 10. But both of them were of the tribe of Judah. So really, in one sense of the word, that made them relation to each other. All right? Now notice, Nabal was very rich. David and his men were fugitives, and David sent 10 young men to visit Nabal and to ask a favor. In other words, they took care of Nabal's sheep and everything like that, or he wouldn't have had them. And so David had sent his young men to ask Nabal to do a favor in return. Now this happens over and over again, because I'll tell you right now, we see what happened. David requested a favor in return for a favor from a fellow individual. Now that may happen to you. Now that's okay. That may happen to you. And if it does, I hope this doesn't happen. We find, notice, the favor that David requested was resented with a ferocity and slander. Again, 1 Samuel chapter 25, look at verse 10. And Nabal answered David's servants and said, "Who is David? And who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants nowadays that break away every man from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed for my shears and give it unto men whom I know not whence they be?" He was lying when he said it. The young men had told him that, but he was this kind of a man. We find he was requested a favor, and then he resented it with a ferocity and slander. And I'll tell you right now, you may have faced that already. But this is a struggle that a believer is going to face. A believer can help an individual all they want to, but I'll tell you right now, it seems like the more people that you help, and the more that you help an individual, the less they appreciate it. I don't know if you've ever found that out or not. I have. I found that out several times in my ministry. And yet, we say, well, we quit doing it. No, we can't quit doing it as God's children. We do it because we're doing it unto the Lord, and we need to recognize that. Now notice, this is what Nabal did with David's men. First of all, he castigated David as a runaway slave from Saul, which was a lie. Secondly, covetousness was the driving principle of Nabal. Now look again, if you will, verse 10, or verse 11, I should say, notice. "Shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed for my shears and give it unto men whom I know not whence they be?" Now let me stop right here, believer. Are you a believer here tonight? Or are you a stingy believer? Are you afraid when somebody asks you for something? Are you afraid to do it? Because you say, well, it's mine. I don't want to share it with them. That's exactly what Nabal did. And these are the struggles that a believer will face if you haven't faced them already. The third thing was this. Revenge also took control of David's feelings and his wisdom. Again, 1 Samuel chapter 25, and look with me at verse 13. "And David said unto his men, Gird ye on every man his sword, and they girded on every man his sword, and David also girded on his sword, and there went up after David about 400 men, for 200 abode by the stuff." All right, now notice if you will. We find very clearly in verse 21. David had said, "Surely in vain have I kept all that this fellow hath in the wilderness, so nothing was missed of all that pertaineth unto him, and he hath requited me evil for good. So and more also do God unto the enemies of David, if I leave all that pertain to him by the morning like any man child." Now what do you have here, all right? We find revenge took control of David's feelings and wisdom. Resentment came to him, and was, I should say, resentment not only came to him, but was expressed by him instead of relying upon the Lord God of heaven. And if we're not careful, it'll happen to us. Then we find retaliation came in place of requesting the Lord God of heaven. David didn't ask anything of the Lord right here. He came back, he was insulted, and David said, "So help me if I leave any man child of that man alive in the morning light." And so, he was bound to do one thing. He was bound to take revenge. Alright, what does the scripture say? "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay." And I'll tell you, the tendency of every one of us, because we're still carnal, the tendency of every one of us is this: you do something to me, I'm going to get even with you. Or else you'll say this to, "Well, I'll forgive you, but I'll never forget it." You haven't forgotten them then. Aren't you glad that God forgets our sin? Aren't you glad that they're separated as far as the east is from the west, and God doesn't remember our sins anymore? If he did, who would stand before him? But God doesn't do that. And God expects us to do the same thing as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. But these things happen to us. And we find very clearly they were happening to David. But we find, notice also, there's a reason why these trials came to the believer. Number one is to furnish us with opportunities to practice what we preach. Now take your Bibles, if you will, keep your finger on 1 Samuel 25, and go with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 32, and we find in verse 31. Listen to it, if you will. 2 Chronicles chapter 32, and then verse 31. I don't know why we don't see that more, but I'll tell you right now. I know very clearly, in the church that we're going to, there's a lot of stingy people there. And how sad it is, but in 2 Chronicles chapter 32, and we find again in verse 31, the Word of God says these things for our learning. Listen to it if you will. 31. Now the rest of the Acts, or verse 31. Howbeit, in the business of the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon, who sent unto him to inquire of the wonder that was done in the land, God left him to try him, that he might know all that was in his heart. Now hold you see. What God did to Hezekiah, he was doing the same thing here to David. And also, what God did to Hezekiah and David, if these things have happened to you, our Lord God of heaven is to do what? He's doing it for one thing, and what is that? To try what's really in our heart. And we need to understand that the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, and yet we find even David was a godly man when this took place. Remember, he was a man after God's own heart, but we find revenge took control of David's feelings and wisdom, and there was resentment instead of relying upon the Lord, and then there was retaliation planned in place of requesting God. Now doesn't that sound like us? It sure does to me, because we find this very, very clearly. Then, the reason why these trials come to the believer is to furnish us with opportunities to practice what we preach. And I'll tell you, beloved, many times people can't understand a word we say because our lives don't back up. Don't back it up. And I've often heard it said, if you're going to talk the talk, be sure you walk the walk. And how many believers today we find become careless and indifferent? And if we're not careful, you can rest assured of one thing. We will do it also. But then, last of all, we find, I want you to notice, yet at the same time, where all this happened, repentance and rejoicing became the lot of David. Now, number one, he was restrained by the coming of Abigail. Now go back to 1 Samuel 25 and look with me, if you will, at verse 32. And listen to what it said, verse 32 down through verse 35. Abigail came and begged David to spare her household as well as herself. And in verse 32, well, first of all, at verse 23 down through verse 31 is Abigail's request of David. Then in verse 32, and David said to Abigail, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which has sent thee this day to meet me. And blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou, which hath kept me this day from coming to shed blood and from avenging myself with mine own hand. Now what do you have here? David was on the way, and Abigail stopped him, and God's hand helped Abigail, and when she talked to David, what happened? God stopped David in his tracks, and when he began to say these words, blessed be thy advice, there was a repentance on the part of David. You see, believers still have to repent. We live in a state of repentance if we're God's people. Always remember one thing. Our salvation consists of repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Now when we repent toward God, we're always repenting. That's why at the close of every day, I don't know whether you do it or not, but at the close of every day, we come before the Lord just before we get in bed, and we have to say, Lord, I'm sorry for today. I've messed up. And He may show us the sins that we've messed up in, and then what do we do? We confess those sins, and what happens? If we confess our sin, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now here's a trial here, and it also comes to the believers. And we see very clearly, repentance and rejoicing became the lot of David. He was restrained by the coming of Abigail, and then he recognized how God had protected him. In other words, again, look if you will, verse 32. And blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou, which hath kept me this day from coming to shed blood, and from avenging myself with my own hand. For in very deed, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, which hath kept me back from hurting thee, except thou hast hasted and come to meet me, surely there had not been left unto Nabal by the morning light any man child. Now, aren't you glad for these trials? Every time I read this, I say, Lord, how many times have you stopped me from saying something wrong or doing something wrong? And you know what happens when he stops us and we're made to see it? What's the first thing we do? Thank you, Lord. Thank you. You know what I'm talking about? You believers, you know what I'm talking about? Oh, I hope and pray that you do. But there's a second lesson here. And what is it? This second lesson is also, follow me closely now, it's the sinner's visitation from God. Now hold your seat and pay close attention. Whenever God sets out to save an individual, God visits that person. He gives them a day of visitation. And David's servants gave Nabal a day of visitation. You say, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? Well, there are several things that stand out here. Number one, God's day of visitation comes unexpectedly. Now you say, what do you mean? All right, look with me if you will. 1 Samuel chapter 25. And look at what it says in verse 2 and 3. Notice, and there was a man in Maon whose possessions were in Carmel. And the man was very great. And he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. And he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now the name of the man was Nabal. And the name of his wife, Abigail. She was a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance. But the man was churlish and evil in his doings, and he was of the house of Caleb. Now what do you mean? Churlish was mean. He was selfish, he was stubborn, he was hard to get along with. A number of years ago, well, in fact, the second church I ever pastored, I was young and everything like that. And I didn't know the Lord at the time, but nobody could convince me that I was wrong. But I pastored the church for 5 years, and we find one day, this dear lady came to my congregation, and she had a boy with her, and every time she'd come, she'd sit towards the back, and she'd always feed him crackers, and he'd feed on those crackers, and he left the biggest mess on the floor you could have. Well, we didn't say anything about it, but I'll never forget, one day she came, and I noticed very clearly, she had been all beat up. Her eye was half closed, and there were blue spots on her, and she tried to cover it up with rouge. And afterwards, she walked out the door. I said to her, I said, Miss So-and-so, I said, what happened to you? I said, now don't tell me you fell, because that's not from a fall. She said, my husband beat me. Well, it aroused my ire. And I said, he's nothing but a dirty coward. And I said, I'm going to get after him. She said, please don't. Well, I did anyway. The next day, I went down in this little old town we were living in, had one gas station in it, and all the men were gathered around there, and I walked down there, and I called the man by name. I said, Mr. So-and-so, I said, you beat your wife yesterday, and she came to church. And I said, I'll tell you right now. I said, let you and I get over here in this field. And I said, you're such a brave man in beating a woman. I said, why don't you pick on me? I said, I'll take my coat off and everything like that. And I said, you just forget it, I'm a preacher, and let's you and I go at it. And I said, one of us is going to get hurt. And I told him, I said, and it's not going to be me. He looked at me kind of funny, and he never said a word. Well, when I talked to him like that, all his cronies were standing there with their mouth open. They said, nobody ever talked to that man like that. And I told him, I said, you're nothing but a dirty coward. Any man that hits a woman is nothing but a dirty coward. And I told him this. I said, if you do it again, I said, I'll guarantee you, I'll come after you, whether it be 3 o'clock in the morning or 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and I said, if you do it again, I'm going to put you in the hospital. And I walked away. Everybody, I said, you know, their mouth open. I walked away. 2 days later, I found out that he was supposed to be the toughest bully and the greatest brawling or brawler in that whole town. But you want to know something? He never did it again. God put the fear in him. And I don't know if you, as far as I know, he died and went to hell. But now, what am I talking about? What am I talking about? All right, here you are. David's men were a visitation from God unto Nabal. And Nabal was busy with his own desires and with his own, should I say, his own possessions. And we find, now listen carefully, the sinner's visitation from God comes unexpectedly. David's servants to Nabal were really God's message to the individual. Now there may be some of you here tonight, and I'm going to tell you right now, if you're not saved, this may be your day of visitation. And I happen to be the servant of God, and God may be using me to speak to you. If you never get saved, God will still cause you to hear my voice all through eternity. Because I believe that people in hell are going to be made to remember. They're going to be made to remember the times that God gave them opportunity to hear and the times that God gave them opportunity to get saved. And I'll tell you right now, they're never going to be able to forget those. You say you're dogmatic about it. Read Luke 16 about the rich man in hell. And read what Abraham told him. He said, "Child, remember that thou in thy lifetime hast received good things and Lazarus evil. And now thou art tormented and Lazarus is comforted." Now if you're here without the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to ask you this question. Is God speaking to you at this hour? If He is, listen carefully. We find this visitation comes unexpectedly. Secondly, we see also, Nabal, listen now, Nabal was compelled to make a decision. Again, go back to 1 Samuel 25 and look for me if you will. And we see very clearly. And we find in verse 8, notice, and we see very clearly what it says. "And the young men, and ask thy young men, and they will show thee. Wherefore let the young men find favor in thine eyes, for we come in a good day. Give, I pray thee, whatsoever cometh thy hand, and unto thy servants, and to thy son David." And when David's young men came, they spake to Nabal according to all those words in the name of David, and ceased. Now, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? All right, the visitation from God comes unexpectedly, all right? Nabal was called upon to make a decision. Now hold your seat again. If God is visiting you tonight, you are going to be compelled to make a decision, one way or the other. You're either going to believe what is said, and then if you do, you're going to act on it, or you're going to disbelieve what you say and go your own way. And we find very clearly the day of visitation comes unexpectedly. God's servants are come, and we find very clearly it calls for response on the part of the individual involved. Nabal was involved because look at what he said in verse 10. "And Nabal answered David's servants and said, Who is David? And who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants nowadays that break away every man from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed for my shears and given unto men whom I know not whence they be?" Now hold your seat again. Here we find Nabal doing what? Taking credit for the blessing that David and his men had provided him with. David and his men provided Nabal with a protection from anybody else, so that Nabal's sheep and oxen and everything like that, he was a very rich man. Alright? Who blessed him? It was a protection of God given to Nabal through David and his servants, and we find what happened very clearly. Nabal did not appreciate it. The same thing goes on at this present hour. Whatever you have tonight, whatever any one of us have tonight, rest assured of one thing, it's the blessing of God upon us. By rights, we all ought to be in hell. By rights, we all ought to be suffering the torments of the damned. By rights, every one of us should have been given up long ago by God. But aren't you glad He's a long-suffering God? He doesn't give us up. But in the day of visitation, when that comes, it comes unexpectedly. And then we find also the end of it calls for a response from the hearer. And before we get through, you're going to be called upon, perhaps even now, called upon for a response from you. In other words, do you believe what's being preached, or don't you believe? And if you don't believe it, why don't you believe it? Have you ever asked that sort of your question? Ask yourself that question? Well, why don't you believe? Well, someone might say, I can't believe. Are you listening? That can be a cop-out. You say, what are you talking about? God will never ask you to do something He won't give you the ability to do it. And always keep that in mind. And if you're here tonight without the Lord Jesus Christ and God's dealing with your heart, I want to tell you right now, this is your day of visitation and God's calling for a response from you right there in your heart. Yes or no? Then we find Abel also was compelled to make some kind of a decision. Alright, what are you talking about? It was Nabal regarding David and his men. And now listen, the decision he made, are you listening? Was the only one he ever made. He never met another one like it. And I'm going to prove that to you before I get through. But we find Nabal was compelled to make a decision, and we find also the individual is compelled with regard to the Lord Jesus Christ. Pilate asked a question. He said, what shall I do with Jesus who is called the Christ? That question is still going on today. What are you going to do with the Lord Jesus who's called the Christ? You're either going to surrender to Him and receive Him as your Lord and Savior, or you're going to continue in rebellion and say, I don't believe. And always remember one thing. Faith is believing that Jesus Christ is all that He says He is, and that He will do all that He says He will do, and then expect it of us. Now you say, what are you talking about? All right. I called Larry. I said, Larry, I'm going to be down in that area. I'm going to go to Conyers. He said, come on by. He said, come on by. All right. If I didn't believe him, I wouldn't come. When you believe something, you act on it. And don't ever get away from that. And we find tonight, if the Lord Jesus Christ is not your Redeemer, He needs to be. And you're without Him. And how sad a situation you are in that you're going to be compelled to make a decision. And we find Nabal was compelled to make a decision concerning David, and we find also the individual tonight is compelled to make a decision concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, what were you talking about? All right, let me ask you a question. If you were to die right now, where would you go? Well, you say, I think I'd go to heaven. Why? Why would you go to heaven? There's only one reason. Let me tell you what it is. Because you personally have surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ and you've had an experience with Him. And that experience is an ongoing experience all the time, isn't it? And I'll tell you right now, the longer we serve Him, the sweeter He grows. But there came a time, alright, what happened? It was either yes or no. And if it would have been a final no, you never would have been converted. That happened to me. And we find this is happening in our lesson tonight, right there with David, with Nabal. Nabal was compelled to do what? Make a decision. And are you listening? He was compelled to make a decision, and we find, listen now, there was a complete responsibility on his part for what transpired. Now you say, preacher, what were you talking about? All right. We find very clearly. David and Nabal, we see set forth in 1 Samuel chapter 25, and we find in verse 12, so David's young men turned their way and went again and came and told him all these sayings. And David said unto his men, gird ye on every man his sword, and they girded on every man his sword, and David also girded on his sword, and they went up after David about 400 men, and 200 abode by the step. And are you listening? This was an act of revenge. Nabal here, because of his decision to say no to David's men, opened himself up to the complete judgment upon him. And always remember one thing. If you say no to the Lord Jesus Christ, and He's speaking to you, and you know by right He's talking to you personally, and He wants you to sue for mercy on the basis that Christ died for sinners, and you're going to say no, all right, the result is this. It's a complete responsibility on your part. And I've said it before, I'll say it again. No person who ever dies and goes to hell can ever point their finger at the Lord Jesus and say, you didn't give me an opportunity. You can see the handiwork of God so clearly in nature. All you need to do is look out here at these trees. Every one of these trees have a different leaf. Every one of those leaves are a different design. Nobody but God could do that. And we find very clearly, I have a blood of a blind young man in the home I live with. His name is Jerry. And I don't, he doesn't know the Lord, but he's cocky about it. And so he thinks he knows a whole lot. And I asked him one day, I said, Jerry, I got a question for you. I said, you kind of lean toward evolution? I said, here's my question. How can a black cow eat green grass, give white milk and yellow butter? I said, if you can answer that, I said, you're pretty smart. He couldn't answer it. Well, neither can I. Well, how come? Because God did it. You see, a black cow, black Angus, give white milk, eat green grass, give white milk and yellow butter. Only God can do that. And it's a handiwork of God. Now, why do I tell you this? Nabal made a decision. And that decision he made was his own responsibility. You say, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? The complete responsibility was his. Now turn again to 1 Samuel chapter 25, and you turn with me to verse 36. And Abigail came to David, and behold, he held a feast in his house, like the feast of a king. And Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunken. Wherefore she told him nothing, less or more, until the morning light. And it came to pass, in the morning, when the wine was gone out of Nabal, and his wife had told him these things, that his heart melted, or his heart died within him, and he became as a stone. And it came to pass about 10 days after that the Lord smote Nabal, and he died. You say, what in the world do you have here? All right, we find the complete responsibility with what Nabal, his decision was his complete responsibility, and I'll tell you what happened. He was cut off by God's justice after 10 days. Now people have said to me over and over and over again, oh now preacher, wait a minute, God's too kind, God's too loving, God's not going to send anybody to hell. Don't you kid yourself. God still says, and it's still true in Psalm chapter 9 and verse 17, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. And then he also says in John chapter 6 and verse 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. I'm going to leave this with you. Do you want to go to hell, yes or no? Well, you say no. All right. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ tonight? No. Then supermercy. Take your place right there as a sinner before the Lord. Supermercy on the basis that Christ died for sinners and you're the sinner. Well, preacher, I got a whole lot of time. I'm a young person. Nabal thought that too, didn't he? He had a drunken feast the same night that he turned down that he made his decision. He had a drunken feast that same night. And when Abigail came back, because she had the assurance of David that his household would be spared along with her, and she came back and Nabal was drunken and she didn't tell him a solitary thing. You know why? He wouldn't have understood it. He was as drunk as he could be. And you can say a lot of things to a drunk person and they won't understand it. Alright, but in the morning, listen now, the wine was gone out of him. He was cold sober. And she told him exactly what had taken place. And the result was this. His heart became as a stone. In other words, he must have had some kind of a stroke or something. Because his heart became as a stone, and we find 10 days later, God sent him to hell. How come, preacher? He deserved to go there. Why aren't we in hell tonight? We deserve to go there. We're not in hell tonight, and if you're here without the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're not in hell tonight, it's because of God's mercy to you. He's given you one more opportunity to hear the truth, because the Lord Jesus Christ died for sinners. He took our place on the cross of Calvary, and only through Him is there a perfect, eternal, complete salvation. And how wonderful it is. What does he do? The Lord Jesus says, come. I like that word come. It appears over 600 times in the scripture. See for the children, O for the old people, and for the middle aged, and he for everyone that will. Oh, but preacher, wait a minute. You said very clearly also that God doesn't save everybody. That's right, he doesn't. But are you listening? The people that die and go to hell after hearing the gospel, it's their complete personal responsibility. Nabal could never say that David wasn't good to him. Nabal could never say that David didn't give him an opportunity. And we find what happened. Nabal was struck by God, beloved, not by David. And we see very clearly, David here also is a portrait of the Lord Jesus Christ. I go into that, preach, you ready to preach for about 3 more hours? Or I could do that. But David also is a portrait of the Lord Jesus Christ, and my Lord's coming back. He went away, but not to stay. He's coming back again, as portrayed here by David. And when he does come, he's going to come in flaming fire in vengeance on this world. Prior to that, he's going to catch us away, those of us that know him. Now, with this, why do I tell you this? Here we find David was, or I should say, Nabal was cut off by God himself. Are you listening? Here's a practical lesson. If you're here without Christ tonight, I urge you, right there, right now, what do? Take your place as a sinner before God. I don't need to talk to you about your sin. You know what kind of a sinner you are. And if God's done any work in your heart whatsoever, you'll know that you are a complete sinner. And you are an all-time sinner. And we find very clearly, you are also a condemned sinner. If God's done any or doing any kind of work, you know that. You're a condemned sinner. But I have good news for you. Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. And if you don't know if you're lost tonight, just stop for a moment. Where would you go right now if you left this world? You'd go to one of two places, either heaven or hell. And your responsibility is right now. God's servants have, or God has brought you here to listen to what you're hearing. And I'll tell you right now, you have a decision to make, and my hope is that you're thinking very clearly and that you are doing what God wants you to do. What does he say? Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. All right? Nabal never called on God. He never had any good thing to say about David. And David was a man after God's own heart, and we find David is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this section right here in the visitation sets forth an individual refusing the gracious overtures of God for his salvation. And instead, what did he do? He went out and got drunk. And in the morning, when the news came to him, his heart died like a stone. He must have had some kind of a stroke or something. And 10 days later, God sent him to hell. Does God still send people to hell? He sure does, but you make sure he doesn't send you there. Now why? Because are you listening? Listen carefully now. Listen carefully. There's a decision time for you right there. Dependence upon the Lord is our only recourse if we are not to fall. And believer, always remember one thing. We see very clearly that what happened to David, to David's men, will happen to us. And it'll happen but to those. It'll happen even in our churches. Because you find out, if you want to see how selfish some people are, I'll tell you right now, you just go to some of these churches and you watch what's going on. And they profess to know the Lord, but they don't have any time for their fellow man. Now let me close. The greatest thing that can happen to you, if it ever does, is for the Lord Jesus to stop by your heart's door. Now I'm going to leave this with you. You're not here by guesswork. You're not here by happenstance. You're here because God has brought you here. And you're here by God's appointment. And don't ever get away from that. Someone might say, well, but preacher, these folks came from Wisconsin. That's right. We came from Michigan. All right? We're both here by God's appointment. And the results are in the Lord's hand. But the responsibility rests upon us. What are you going to do with the Lord Jesus Christ? Or if you don't know him, take your place as a sinner and sue for mercy on the basis that Christ died for sinners. You're a sinner, and don't stop suing until he comes.